I don't know how this podcast begins, so just begin it.
All right. Hi, folks. Welcome to A Different Direction, an exploration of TV's missteps, blunders, and hidden gems. I'm Dave.
Hey, time to get freaky with your favorite host, Diana.
Hi, Diana.
Hi, Dave. It's nice to see you. It's a nice weekly meeting we have. The meeting of the minds.
First time all week we've seen each other.
What brings us together is Freaky Links.
Mm-hmm.
The show that was only one season, was only... so many episodes.
13.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Good segue into the name of this episode.
Yep.
313.
313, yeah. Before we start talking about it, a couple of quick things, like, we gotta say. So, only gotta do this a couple more times, but if you're hearing this on the Toss Owls and Scrambled Eggs feed, you should look for us on the actual feed for this podcast, because I'm gonna stop uploading it here, but this is just to give you all a chance to hear it. But if you're not hearing it there, yay! Forget a few seconds ago, skip ahead. Don't listen to that part. You don't need it. Also, forgot to mention on the last episode, though I may have put it in post, we'll find out when it goes up. You can find this podcast and information about it on Twitter at Diff Direction Pod. That's D-I-F Direction Pod. And if you want to email us, and then we can read your emails on the show, email us at differentdirection@tgifarcade.com. And I think that's about it. I think that's everything I needed to say. Also, we're definitely going to spoil the show. If you have not watched episode 2 of Freaky Links, you should go watch it. It's on YouTube, we're gonna spoil it.
And there's also another content warning, probably for this entire series.
Yeah.
I don't even remember what the content warning was.
Look, here's the thing. This show, it's what if X-Files was darker and like for edgy teens?
What if it was Buffy? What if it was Buffy but more dark?
Yeah. Less
like no,
less...
Buffy meets Hannibal? I think Hannibal's a little too much.
Hannibal's too much. I really think it's like, I'm saying it's a monster of the week style. Like there's death and except yeah, there's deaths and like murdery things and like things like that in probably every episode, I'm gonna guess. So be prepared for that. There's monsters and death and related things like that in probably every episode. I'd say those are the main ones.
What about Idaho?
There's relatively few potatoes here, so there's not much of a connection between Maine and Idaho. They're both potato states. That's the only connection. And there's very little potatoes in this.
What
episode.
About a love connection? Do 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 do.
Over a mutual love of potatoes.
Love it.
All right. So I don't know if any of these will ever matter when I mention them, but I'm just going to mention them. The writer on this episode, we got Michael R. Perry. Director is Stephen Craig. And I realized I don't think I read the TV Guide synopsis last time. That's the thing I want to do. I'm reading.
Okay.
Because I feel like the TV Guide synopsis is often will give you nothing for what the show is actually going to be. So the synopsis I got for this one was... Derek and the gang may end up celebrating baby's first exorcism when they meet a possessed pregnant woman.
Okay, so now that you know what you're in for...
Uh-huh.
Here we go.
Let's try and recap it.
I mean, this is kind of a recap, but not really. So we're going to talk about... It's kind of... We're recapping,
we're
but
recap
not...
We're going to recap it with no notes.
This is based on our memory. This is like the water cooler conversation you've always wanted to have about Freaky Links from 1999.
Mm-hmm.
Look, get out your Seether albums. Was Seether?
Oh, I don't know.
I don't know either. Don't know. Maybe that wasn't the right band to call out.
I don't know nothing about them. But look, one person listening to this He's like, oh, dang, Seether. That Seether reference, that got me good.
Or not. They're just like, wow, these people are out of touch. And that song, I'm out of touch.
Uh-huh.
I don't think that's what they say. Yeah. Hard to touch. You're out of touch.
No,
you're
I'm
out of
touch. I'm out of time. You're out of touch. You're out of touch. I'm out of time. It's okay, something like that.
Well, this
anyway,
has
nothing to do with this.
This has nothing to do with Free Healings.
Nothing at all.
Or what's not? What I guess the website is Free Healings now, right?
Yes. Yeah. Because that's the first thing we see. We see Ted. We see a new character.
Oh,
Ted,
yes. Okay.
On
we don't know
list.
Ted's. We yeah. don't know. So this has that opening of two characters we haven't seen.
Yeah.
It's not Derek, Jason, Lan, or Chloe.
Right.
That were introduced in the first episode.
Right.
It's
the classic Monster of the Week opening.
Yes. With Ringer T at the Freaky Link site. And then his wife is. He's like, I gotta check on my wife.
He hears a thump from the bedroom, is why.
Yeah.
Yeah. And runs in, bolts in there.
And then we see Vicky. We know it's Vicky now.
Right.
Ted and Vicky.
Mm-hmm. Like,
I don't remember.
Like, fall out of bed or something?
I don't know. I just wrote unsettling angles.
There's definitely some unsettling angles.
I don't know. She has a very Jennifer Tilly way of her. I felt
interesting. I can kind of see where that would come from.
Where
I would never have said that.
She felt very demure, but also she's a demon.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe I watched Bride of Chucky too many times. In actuality, no, I have never seen a Bride of Chucky, but I feel like I understand the vibe.
Sure. Yeah. Oh, you understand the vibe. Yeah.
So the wife is doing things that she doesn't know that she's doing.
Right.
It is, and some unsettling angles happen, mm-hmm. and then what happens? She, like, goes outside. So we see that this house, the apartment where they're living, is entirely locked up. Like, she's locked up because I'm like, someone's trying to get her.
Yeah. Well, because, okay, so
but
here's
she,
one thing that's
to
really
to keep
weird.
Her inside.
Yeah. Because here's a weird thing that happens. He's browsing Freaky Links.
Here's the one weird thing.
Demons hate him.
One weird thing that demons hate.
So,
go to freakylinks.com to find out how.
Okay, I would be curious. I realize we went to occultresearch.com, but we didn't check if freakylinks.com has anything. Anyway, so the episode. He's browsing Freaky Links, and then he hears a thump from the bedroom, rushes in, his wife's, like, on the floor, and the alarm clock is also on the floor, and it's blinking 3:13, which, like, clocks don't really do that. But
shout out to the name of the episode! Yeah.
And then she's like, oh, I don't know what happened, and he, like, settles her back into bed and, like, you know, puts the clock back on the thing and, like, closes the door, goes back, several minutes pass, and then he hears another thump and goes running, and it still says 3:13 on the clock. His wife isn't in the room. All of the windows are padlocked shut, the door's padlocked shut, but yet she's not there anymore. And then he looks out the window and sees her, like, on the street, like, walking down the street, and has to go this weird, like, roundabout way to get outside, even though there's nothing unlocked that she could have gone through, and then finds her in the garage.
Dave, I think it might be supernatural. What do you think? I think it might be something about freaky here happening.
There might be something freaky
and
happening.
I think we need to call the freakers to help us out. I don't know what their team name is.
I like the idea that they're freakers, because that's an entirely different thing. That's like phone hacking.
Hey. Once a phone freak, always a phone freak.
That's those people that used to be able to, like, whistle into a payphone and call Japan for free.
Did they have people to call in Japan?
They would just do that because they could.
Okay, but they're running up the other person's bill up in Japan, right?
No. I'm saying they would whistle into the phone.
And then what?
It would play the tone. They would whistle the tones that tell the phone that money had been put into it. They whistled the exact tones, so the payphone thought they had paid for the call.
That's interesting.
Yeah. Anyway.
Okay, so I want to say the vibe from Derek and Jason in this is a very different vibe.
Yes.
One, I feel like everything.
I think the show has a different
vibe. Yes, like Lan is not in the hacker outfit.
Mm-hmm.
But she's also she's clearly the only one that knows what to do.
Mm-hmm.
And then Derek is kind of irresponsible, and Jason sort of almost doesn't want anything to do with anything.
Yeah.
But he kind of is like, okay.
Yeah. I think, I feel like...
Once they realize... We have to say what's happening.
We found her... Hold on. There's one piece in that early cold open synopsis that's really important that we missed.
Oh, yeah.
Which is that once he finds her, he chases his wife to the garage where she's dumping gasoline on her head. Like, that's kind of a big piece that we didn't say.
Yeah.
She didn't just leave the room. She dumped...
She didn't disappear. She almost did.
Yeah. She dumped a big can of gasoline on her head, which is kind of important. But anyway, yeah.
Getting back to the episode, whatever. Clearly, she's fine. She shows up totally fine.
Yeah.
So Vicky and Ted are like, "Hi, are you the freakers? We're here for your freaky help."
Yeah. Okay, there's a moment in this. By the way, this apartment is even more wild than it appeared in the first episode.
Whose apartment? Derek's apartment?
Derek's apartment.
Okay.
Because he's just on, he lives, directly on the boardwalk at a beach, right? Like, he's just, walking around the apartment in his, silk robe.
Red Hot Chili Peppers are out there, on the beach, having a little fight.
Yeah, fighting Patrick Swayze and Keanu Reeves.
Excuse you, don't you mean Johnny,
Utah?
Johnny Utah and that, what's his name?
What is his name? It's so good. Is it Brody?
I was going to say Brody, but then I wasn't sure.
It's something like that.
Gosh.
I don't know.
A real classic. Anyways.
That's not just all
like,
the Red Hot
just
Chili
like Peppers. Freaky Links.
Mm-hmm. But, it's briefly... So, the problem with watching this on YouTube is the audio is not great. So there's some lines that we definitely missed, but he said something about, how he's, house-sitting or something?
I think he said that so these strangers would go away.
Oh. Because
they're requesting his help, right?
Yeah, because they just showed up at his door.
Mm-hmm.
Because they somehow found his address.
Yeah, it's probably on Freaky Links. That's probably one of the links.
Probably.
To my home.
Well, no, he specifically calls out that it's not on there.
Maybe this is also Adam's place.
Maybe.
Okay, so then we have to get... So, eventually, they hear enough of a story from Vicky and Ted to be sort of convinced to go check out what's happening with them.
Right.
And then Derek has to call Chloe, who I didn't even realize was actually involved, really.
Yeah. Well, if you think, because he calls her because...
She's like a psychiatrist, I think.
Yeah.
And so he has a feeling. So this is one of the things that I feel like is very strange in the episode, but he basically thinks that they're mentally ill and they're going to hurt the baby.
Yeah.
Because,
or each other or themselves.
Yes.
Yeah.
That they're delusional, and that's not something he has experience in. So he's calling Chloe in to be like this, but then Ted catches on pretty quickly. He's like, who's talking to my wife? Because is this person a psychiatrist? Because he's trying to say, look, I'm not crazy.
Right.
I came to you because we heard earlier Vicky's like, Ted believes in you and so do I.
Yeah.
And Derek is very not up to this task of being, like, directly involved.
Right. Well, the fact is, like, honestly, like, okay, I gotta say, I'm surprised to say this about episode 2 of Freaky Lynx about a possible, like, demon baby thing.
Yeah, sure.
I really like the writing in this moment of, like, the characterization of Derek in this moment.
Well, oh, caring and...
Not just caring.
But skeptical?
Skeptical in a way that isn't him just being, like, whatever, I'm gonna go, I don't care about this. Him, like, his job is investigating paranormal stuff, right? And, like, if you call in the Ancient Aliens guy, he's gonna be like, oh, it's probably the Ancient Aliens.
Sending
a signal to your baby. You know, there's probably some Ancient Alien text sending a signal to your baby.
Excuse me.
But I'm saying...
You know who I think is sending a message to the baby? It might be Delaney Park, but I don't know what you're talking about.
Right. But Derek's job is literally to write interesting paranormal stories and put them on the internet, right?
He's being offered one. A journalist.
Right. But he's being offered this as a possible, like, demon ghost thing.
Yeah, first on the scene.
Right. And his
first
response
reporting
is to be like, let me protect these people. They might be dealing with a serious psychological problem here because that can happen.
What about that one family? I feel like I saw this on BuzzFeed Unsolved, where they pack up their whole car and then they drive somewhere, but then they come back, right? They're like, or something happens to them and they have like several stops along the way and nobody knows why they did this. Mm-hmm. And it was very strange. And I'm assuming, what turns the tide for them? So they decide to stay overnight. Chloe comes and talks to the wife.
Right. But again, I'm saying they bring in a professional who can look and be like a skeptical side person who might be able to say like, hey, is this like a delusion?
Mm-hmm.
Is this a dangerous situation?
Mm-hmm.
And they can do their paranormal investigation. Like, I love this. I think this is fantastic. This is the right way to act here, to just be like, let's bring in like a third party to make sure if you're like, we believe you believe what you're saying.
You mean like you get a professional?
Yeah.
No, I totally disagree. I totally disagree because I think he should have said, okay, Ted, we're going to stay overnight and we're going to observe what's going on here with your family because they're going to be there.
Mm-hmm.
And I know he says he's not a Ghostbuster.
Mm-hmm.
Derek legit says that.
Right.
Even
though this scene is the first scene when they go to the apartment is actually very reminiscent of Peter Venkman going to Dana's apartment the first time, just being like, let me just check out your place. Ding, 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 ding. Squeeze a thing. But it's like, there's no ghost there. He doesn't think there's a ghost there.
Well, he doesn't believe in ghosts.
He does believe in ghosts. He's just not afraid of no ghosts.
Excuse? Oh. Oh, I see. He doesn't believe in ghosts. There's no way that comes across that he believes in ghosts.
I thought you were talking about Peter Venkman.
Yeah, I am talking about Peter Venkman.
He absolutely believes in ghosts. He talked to one in the library before that scene.
Yeah, but does he really even believe it?
100%, yes.
But they put that in post.
What?
They put that ghost in post. He didn't see no ghost?
Sure. Anyway, all I'm saying is, yeah, yes, Derek says he's not a ghost.
Okay, I don't even remember how this happened. Uh-huh. But basically, I think they end up linking something that's happening with Vicky to a missing person. So one of the clues is that she started humming classical music.
Yep.
And then she also bought a ton of classical music CDs or something, or stole them.
No, she bought them. Even though she doesn't care about classical music at all, she bought a ton of them. And when Ted tried to return them, Vicky stabbed him and doesn't remember doing it. But also, the night they stay over, like, for some reason, even though Ted literally says, like, it's at the same time, like clockwork, that a thing happens with this demon. At 3:13, they're all just chilling in the like the living room, and then are surprised when Vicky, like, they hear a thump from the other room, and Vicky isn't there. It's like, why would you ever not be in the room with Vicky at 3:13?
And then what happened? What is Vicky doing?
She's in the apartment complex's rec room, like, furiously playing the piano.
Oh, yeah!
Even though she doesn't play the piano.
But then, I don't remember how this...
So, Jason is filming the entire time.
Okay.
Right? In the... So,
yes.
Jason's filming in the first visit, but he doesn't believe anything. He doesn't
Then they do all this research to figure out what's being played.
Right. They bring in the classical think that's, music person. Yeah.
Yeah. They actually have a lot of, a big research team.
Yeah. They do a good amount of research. Like,
Okay, but I don't understand. So, Delaney Park. How does it get to Delaney Park?
I'm getting there. So. First, they bring in the classical music person who's like, this person, she is playing a bunch of, like,
this
a bunch of different songs
simultaneously.
This is just a voice
on, this is just like a voice, right? Like,
no, he's
on
in the
phone?
Room. No, he comes. He comes there, and there's a whole other guy who comes and, like, he's, like, in the room watching the video.
I'm looking around the room now to see if I see the guy. But this is like earlier when we were taking a walk and those three people were yelling across the street to some voice that I definitely heard speak, and I looked over there and there was no one there. There was no one there.
He was on the other side of a large car. I couldn't see him at all.
I thought the classical guy was just talking on the computer.
No, he's watching the video on the computer in Derek's apartment. He's with Derek in the room.
Where are my eyes?
I don't know.
Okay.
But yeah, he was definitely there. He's watching. And he's like, and then Lon asks, like, is it something specific? Is it like Bach or Chopin?
Does it say Lon again? Like L-A-W-N?
They pronounce it like L-A-W-N. It's spelled like Lan.
Oh, this is like Lena, Lana on.
Yeah.
Sorry, if you did not listen to our other podcast, which was all about Frasier, I'm sorry, we're just going to mention Frasier.
We're going to reference Frasier.
We spent a lot of time thinking and talking about Frasier that sometimes my mind just goes there as a reference point. And then I realize that not everyone uses Frasier as a reference point.
But also, if somehow you found this show without knowing about our other podcast, good on you. Thanks. Welcome.
Thanks for listening, Ethan Embry.
That would be amazing. Another tangent. Whatever. That's our show. Diana and I are both fans of Ethan Embry stuff in different Ethan Embry stuff and have been for a long time. To the extent that when she and I were first streaming on the internet, we always used to joke about how Ethan Embry was just obviously going to be watching because we were such big fans of various things he made.
No, so, the reason that we made that joke is because he followed me on Twitter.
Oh, right.
So,
obviously. Yeah. So, I'm just saying it would be incredible if he actually listened, even once. So, if you are here, Ethan, welcome.
Thank you.
I loved your brief appearance on The Walking Dead. Anyway, so what were we talking about? Oh, we got to Frasier, Lan, Lana, right. Okay, that's how.
Delaney Park. How did we get to Delaney Park?
Yeah, I'm getting started.
Which is a person and not a place.
Right. So, but first, the important thing that we got to mention before we even get to the Delaney Park thing, but this is connected.
Okay.
Is, so the classical music guy is, when Lan asks that, what if it's a specific thing, he's like, yeah, it's like all of it, it's like all of classical music except for this one thing. I don't know what this one thing is, but it's like every significant composer, it's that, including this thing that has to be played by two people. I hear four hands playing at once. But so later they're watching another part of the video, another video from the first time that they went there, when Jason got bored because he didn't believe in any of it and started just filming around the room.
He does change his tune.
He does, yeah. But at the beginning, the first
everyone is very different and way more serious in this episode, and like actually seem to care about their job as opposed to like the first episode where you're just, I think it's because you're like getting this kind of overview of what happened, and now you're like, how is
this is a day in the life as opposed
to, but I'm guessing this doesn't happen very often because he wouldn't have been so taken aback by it.
Yeah.
You think he's calling Chloe all the time? Clearly.
No. I right. So while Jason's doing that, at one point he pans past some wooden blocks that are all just sort of jumbled, like baby blocks.
Jason on the camera does?
On the camera, yeah. Because they're in like a nursery, and they pan past a shelf and there's some toys, including some wooden blocks.
Well, they're not just in a random nursery. This is when they're in the nursery of the house of Vicky and Ted.
Right. And he pans past a shelf, there's some wooden blocks on it, and they're just sort of jumbled. And when he pans back, it's arranged to say Delaney Park.
Oh, it is?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought it said, time to get freaky.
Again, this absolutely would have been easier to see watching it on actually on TV. The low resolution of...
Excuse me, do you know, I watched this probably on a black and white TV.
Uh-huh. Oh, we also see a vision when that's happening.
Oh, yeah.
Vicky has a vision in the crib.
About oil. Oil filling it's a up very the... that X-Files state. Yeah, immediate X-File. If you know anything about X-Files, black oil.
It's the black oil.
Got that oil in there. But also, it was like, this is a black pool of sludge that is swallowing some, like, it's strange.
It is strange.
But
it
then you also made the Ghostbusters reference there.
Anyway, so that's how we get the phrase Delaney Park. And it turns out, Delaney Park...
Googling.
Yeah, Googling. Not probably not Googling.
Dogpile.
Dogpile.
Yahoo!
Lon asked Jeeves what Delaney Park was. And Delaney Park is a girl that went... Young woman? I don't know what her age is exactly, but...
I think she was a senior in high school.
Oh, yeah.
She was going... She was accepted to go to Juilliard.
She was supposed to audition at Juilliard.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But had disappeared.
Strangely, when they show Vicky a picture of Delaney Park, first she's like, I don't know this person. And then she's like...
I did something terrible to
her. I did them. Yeah, like I did something terrible to them.
Yeah.
And you're like,
wait, was that after the interview though?
What interview?
Didn't they go around and talk to people before they showed it to Vicky?
Oh, you mean like Delaney Park's mom? Is that what we're talking about?
Yeah, and then her friend and then the guy that she was dating.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because we had seen that
guy. Yeah, so they do some interviews around Delaney Park.
Right.
They talk to the mom, who's very distraught and very sad.
Yeah.
And then they talk. Go ahead.
There is an interesting thing. There's an interesting moment when they're talking to the mom that I thought was weird, but I thought was bad writing. And I later realized maybe it wasn't. Because she's talking about how, like, every time there's a knock at the door or whatever, you know, every time the doorbell rings, she's hoping that it's going to be like that, finding out that Delaney's okay. And then it's like, I'm scared to find, like, my next fear is that thing is like fear that they found her. And I'm like, I get that, because it's like being afraid, like, the last thing you want is to know that she's dead.
No, but she was like, I feel in my heart that Delaney is alive. She thinks that Delaney is alive and coming back.
Yeah. But I'm saying, like,
she just expects her to...
That one line of, I'm afraid...
Oh. What could that mean? What could that mean? Okay,
the assumption is that it's that they found her body.
Anyways, like, okay.
So, but the interviews is what I wanted to get to.
Okay, the interviews.
Right. So now this is
who is doing the interviews.
It's Derek and Jason are going around with their camera doing interviews with people, and I found this really interesting for a couple of reasons. One, they didn't really do this at all in the first episode.
Yeah.
They set up the camera thing, that was part of their thing,
yes,
like, really early.
Yeah.
But then they didn't really do much with it. They filmed, like Adam's house and whatever, but, like...
But, hey, they get some great piano playing in this episode.
They do, but...
And the blocks, yeah, and the...
But then they go and they interview on camera, like, a friend of Delaney's, and then... Mac or Max D'Angelo? I can't remember. But
I feel like it's Max.
At one point, I was sure it was Mac, and a later point, I was sure it was Max. Whichever it was.
Max.
Yeah. Delaney's boyfriend, the apparently the last person that saw her alive, who, like, just lives on a boat or something. Maybe works,
yeah,
on a boat.
Yeah, he was very, like, apparently I was the last person to see her alive.
Yeah.
He doesn't, he's just sort of nonchalant about it
because he's sure she's out there somewhere is what he says. He's like, she's still alive, she's out there somewhere. But here's the thing I found really interesting about this is that this feels a lot like the first half of the Blair Witch Project.
Mm-hmm.
The part
again,
where they're walking around the town, they're doing interviews with people around the town on camera about the Blair Witch and the myths of the Blair Witch, and it feels like very improvised.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Like, they just kind of gave some, like...
That is totally the feel of the show, is,
yeah,
very, like, improvised,
yeah,
kind of thing.
Specific moments. These interviews feel improvised. Like,
yes,
they were like, here are... It's almost like the people said, here are specific facts you need to say.
Mm-hmm.
Now just go. Like, mm-hmm. And then they improvise the scene, because it feels... Like, yeah, it feels improvised. It feels conversational in a way.
Well, how does Derek end up... Okay, one, I wrote get 'em, Vicky. What was get 'em, Vicky,
oh,
in reference,
yeah, yeah,
to?
Okay. So, eventually, after they talk to Delaney's friend, didn't write down the name. Thought I might have written down the name.
I think...
And then Max, or Mac. And then they bring the missing picture thing to Vicky, and then Vicky's like, you know, I've never seen her before, and then starts crying and is like, oh, I did something terrible to her, right?
Oh, Vicky, the pregnant wife,
right,
woman,
right,
who started the whole thing,
right?
So then we get this flashback to when they're in the car. Oh yeah, they're in the car, and
Vicky picks her up,
Delaney up,
who's, she's hitchhiking.
So, apparently, Vicky is mad at Ted, and she's,
right,
out,
yeah,
driving around, and,
yeah,
this is how she met Delaney.
She wants Ted to marry her.
Yes, and then she picks Delaney up, like, hey, where are you going?
Mm-hmm.
And they end up sort of bonding over boy problems.
Yes. Yeah.
Vicky has an interesting theory about men,
mm-hmm,
which is put them in a box,
mm-hmm,
until they're 30.
Yeah, with just a hole for air and food.
And then when they're 30, just close the hole up.
Right. And that's where you're like, get them, Vicky, came from.
Yeah, so it's interesting because as far as I'm concerned, they bonded. So that's what we,
yeah,
find out, that they had this bond.
Yeah.
And so...
Vicky was pregnant. And,
yeah.
And... No, not Vicky. Sorry. Delaney is pregnant.
Delaney was pregnant. Oh, yes!
Yeah,
Delaney was pregnant because...
Vicky doesn't even want kids.
Vicky is talking like, hey, do you want to, like, basically go, you know, smoke a joint or,
yeah,
something?
Yeah.
But
she can't because she's pregnant.
Yeah, she goes, what, are you pregnant or something?
Mm-hmm.
And she's like...
Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah, she gives a look. She gives,
yeah,
a look.
Yeah.
She shows the pregnancy test. She just pees on Vicky. She's like, can't you tell? So we're gonna be taking off, like,
nah, that's nothing.
okay,
that ain't nothing. Like, she was supposed to go take care of it, but she wants that baby.
Vicky doesn't want kids.
Vicky, who we know up until the only thing we know about Vicky
is that
maybe
she's
possessed and pregnant.
Yes,
I mean definitely pregnant, maybe possessed.
Right. But then,
mm-hmm,
don't we get Derek going to the play? Don't, like, after...
Well, so then
What happens after?
The last thing that happens is, in the flashback, Vicky drops off
Delaney. Oh, yeah, she just drops her off at home, right? Yeah.
And then sees...
her talking to her boyfriend.
Mac Max.
Mad Max.
And an argument. It seems to be an argument. And she's like...
And the war boys come out. Yeah.
She's thinking about stopping, but then doesn't. And so she's really upset because
Vicky thinks about stopping. And the car, yeah. And then sees it, like, you know, in the mirror behind her, and then she's like, no, it's probably fine, and, like, drives away. So she feels, like, responsible for Delaney's death.
Right.
But what we find out, well, Derek gets what? This thing to go to this place, right?
Okay, so here.
This is what happens when I do not write notes. Dave knows what's happening, and my notes say things like, get him, Vicky, and scary sewer reveal.
If you saw my notes, yours are more detailed than mine. So the next thing we see, right around that time, it suddenly becomes 3:13 again, and it's time for Delaney to do some stuff. And this time, what Delaney's doing is Vicky starts just vomiting up oil. Just oil starts pouring out of her mouth. Her eyes turn white, and oil starts just pouring out of her mouth. And they have to rush her to the hospital, and it sounds like she might die.
Vicky might die.
Because she's, like, getting weak, and she's choking on oil, and all this stuff is happening. And they're trying to figure out what to do. And they all go to the hospital, and trying to figure out what's going on. And that is when, on the TV, there's an ad. We had seen this ad earlier. I actually commented on it. I thought it was a Dunkin' Donut ad.
Oh, yeah.
But it's actually for a convenience store. And that ad... the jingle is the music that the classical music guy couldn't identify.
Oh!
And that store is where Mac Max used to work.
Uh-huh.
Which the other interview we saw, that woman, the girl, we see, there were two interviews we saw. One was a girl playing a guitar, and the other one was Mac Max. The girl playing the guitar mentioned that Mac Max used to work at a convenience store. So they realize that Delaney is trying to tell them something by playing that song. Because all of this is them trying to play, like, tell our messages. Because so much of it is about oil. This is a convenience store where there was a gas station.
It leads to some place that is covered up by boxes and is a sewer, there's a spooky, scary skeleton. Anyways, it's Delaney. Then the police come and are like, "Yay, the job is done. We figure out the big old mystery."
Yeah, but. Just like, spoilers for The Ring. It's like The Ring. They've solved the mystery. They found the body. We did it. We saved. We helped the ghost. The thing that she's trying to do. We helped it. But it's not done. Vicky's still dying. Why is Vicky still dying? Haven't we solved the mystery?
No.
We haven't.
No. So, Derek goes over to check on the mom. To be like, hey, mom.
Are you okay?
I got some fun music by my friend.
Yeah, definitely not the ghost of your daughter. Definitely just a friend who has the same piano energy.
Anyway, she just walks away from the door like, you can handle this on your own, right? Come in here and play this cassette for me, stranger. And then I think that ends up with them, like, going into the bedroom
to
be like...
They go into the bedroom because that's where Vicky has, I guess, not Vicky. That's where Delaney, the only tape player would have to have been in Delaney's room.
No other tape players exist.
No other tape players.
But like, oh, I think he's just saying like, I feel like she's just showing the room to say like she hasn't changed it in this.
Yeah.
And then Derek's looking at all the statues and it's just Derek and the mom.
Yeah. There's, because Delaney's got so many, like, awards for music, like, competitions and things like that, including one from March 13th, 313. Dun, dun, dun! It's got a little bit of a, little bit of a dent here. Oh, what's this little dent in this thing? And then I feel like we got a real, like...
This is Sixth Sense.
Thank you. Yes. I was like, there's a real Sixth Sense moment here because he's like, and I was literally about to say.
She wasted her life. She didn't care about Juilliard. She had such a gift. Why would she give it away? Why would she want a baby? Ew, babies are gross. She needed to make a better decision with her life. Listen to her mother. Anyways, I killed her. And then I dropped her in the sewer, but you know what? I thought she was dead, but guess what? She was alive, and she was scratching her way out of the sewer!
Uh-huh. Also very much The Ring.
Also, just super admitted to the... Because Derek is just rolling the camera at some point.
Because he dropped it. He had it. I think he was recording it.
Also, Delaney shows up.
Right, this is the part that felt like The Sixth Sense to me.
Yo! Don't let her get away.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. Because he's just, like, looking at this trophy and, like, turns around and jump scare. Like, and she's like, stop her. And then, like, that's when he realizes what the dent on the trophy is. And he sees, like, a vision or whatever. And I think that's what it is. She shows him, like, a vision of what happened.
Mm-hmm.
But, like...
I want to say how Chloe was just not helpful really at all. Like, she helps with Vicky. Like, she gets Vicky to the hospital and this stuff and, like, makes sure she's, like, safe.
Yeah. Here's the thing. Chloe is not super helpful in this, but I think Chloe being there is important for what I'm saying, was saying before about the characterization of it. Like, I love Chloe being in this, even though in terms of, like...
Do we even get to see... We don't talk about what... We gotta finish the mom story.
Oh, yeah, yeah, right. Yeah, but I just want to say, again, I love Chloe being included in this episode because she isn't important to the plot. She's important to the characterization. And I really actually love that because a lot of times a show like this wouldn't bother. They would be like, well, she's not important to what's happening. So, why include her? Or they would make her important to the plot? She's important to the characterization. And I would not have expected a show like this to care much about the characterization.
Well, I want to say that Chloe's mom has basically confessed.
Yep.
And is walking out with Derek.
Yep.
When they stop in her very fancy house, mm-hmm. which has that kind of cutout balcony. You know exactly what's happening here.
Yep.
Where it's you overlooking the piano, where Delaney is suddenly playing piano.
Like there's like, here's the important thing to understand with the setting here. We have a sort of long curving staircase to the upper floor.
Yes, this is the very Haunting of Hill House as well.
That just has like a big cutout overlooking a room, like. Like, that's a thing that just houses just have.
I mean, they do when they're fancy and in L.A. or Florida, as the show is.
It's definitely, absolutely in Florida. But it's like, I feel like not a lot of houses just have, like, a big opening from the staircase.
How else can people just randomly go, Delaney, and, like, fly off the thing and just, I mean, clearly Delaney got the mom?
Yeah.
And
yeah, because she's at the, her ghost is like at the piano playing, but only the mom can hear or see her,
mm-hmm.
and the mom just sort of like
walks out to her
with arms wide open.
Well, Delaney can clearly, I see what you did there.
Yeah.
Can clearly take over people.
Yeah,
in some way,
and so she just like. Swan dives off of the stairs onto the...
Well, it's not the stair, out of the window weird thing.
Well, the stairway window to nothing, to open, the open
the living
doorway
room.
Thing overlooking...
Yeah, and it's not good. And it super looks like Derek did it.
Yeah, Like, that was the thing that really bothered. As soon as but she also, fell.
But also, before we have this, I think we do get a scene because of the confession, or maybe yes. after this, where, like, Ted and Vicky and the baby, they're all okay.
I think we see that after? We see that after, yeah. Because we see a video being played on the Freaky Link site, because it's got the, like, outline of the website.
Oh, okay.
With the, like... I'm assuming, like, Real Player plugin.
Oh, like, yeah, definitely Real Player plugin. Yeah, yeah. 100%. Do you think they have the dancing banana on there? They definitely do. Peanut butter jelly.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm done.
The only way, which, like, they're watching it in, like, high quality, like, it only works.
240.
Yeah, the high, 240.
180.
60p.
Oh, yeah, like, probably 60p.
Which only works because they're watching it from the server, because they're in Derek's apartment. Like, literally anyone else is...
from inside the house.
Like, anyone else watching this is just going to be blocky and take, like, 3 hours to download this 15-second video. But, like, you know, they're
These
watching...
These are real ghosts at stake, okay? Anyways, for some, whatever this reason, this episode just kind of cuts off in the middle of nowhere.
There's definitely going to... I feel like there was probably some wrap-up thing. I mean,
it was kind of close to the end, so maybe miss a little bit, but...
Probably missed a little bit, but...
That's a summary. So very, Monster of the Week. They kind of solved the case, kind of.
Kind of. They solved it. What did they solve?
I mean, Derek didn't solve it.
I mean... They did. They found it was Delaney. They went through the right steps. They found the killer. They recorded that it was her. Derek, from the view of the cops, probably murdered her. No repercussions for that.
Not yet. We don't see until episode 3.
That's true. Episode 3 is just going to be like... Episode 3 through 13 are just going to be his trial.
Yeah.
Like, it suddenly becomes, like, a trial drama, like, a courtroom drama.
Okay, actually, that brings it up. That brings it up to, like, where do you see the show going now?
Right. Well, before we get there, hold on. I don't want to get there yet. I want to talk about, I had a couple of notes that I...
Okay, fine. We can talk about those notes.
Okay. So, one thing I caught is that, like, okay, so when they... first went to the apartment and they're filming, and Jason clearly doesn't believe anything, right? The moment he stops filming, and, like, on a human level, I fully understand this, but they're investigating a possible demon ghost possession thing, mm-hmm. right? He's filming all of this, and then gets really, like, solemn and puts the camera away, right? When she starts, like, screaming, staring at what is, from our perspective, an empty crib, and then collapses into the corner, and I'm like, yo, if there is a ghost or demon thing happening, it's happening right now. This is when you do not turn the camera off. Like, I understand on a human level.
How do we know the ghost didn't turn off the camera, Dave?
Because we see him, and it cuts to a shot of
him. How do we know it's Derek and not Adam? Who don't know.
It's Jason.
Exactly.
So it's neither Derek nor Adam. It's definitely, you're right, it's not, we know it's not Adam.
Okay, that's what I said.
We know it's not Adam because Jason doesn't have the scar on his eyebrow.
Right,
that's how
right.
you can tell Jason and Adam apart.
I feel like there's a lot more reasons.
Nope. Jason doesn't have that scar over his eyebrow.
Okay, but Adam and Derek are twins, and I dislike you in this moment.
But, yeah, Jason, like, has this moment when he gets really, like, solemn, and you can see him having, like, second thoughts about what they're doing, and he, like, closes the camera and puts it down. But I'm just like, dude, they asked you to come here and film this? This is the moment you need to be filming.
The batteries don't last as long. And also true. The ghosts drink batteries.
That is true. That is true. If you're in Outlast rules, you gotta be really careful with those batteries. That's a joke for like two people listening, but whatever.
But that camcorder.
Yeah.
Camcorder just soak up one. Uh-huh. You don't put batteries in a camcorder, do you? Not at this point. You charge it?
There was yeah, you had, like, you definitely don't put AA batteries in one, which is what that game Outlast did. Whatever. That's not important. I'm just making a dumb joke about that game.
I think it was flashlights.
No, it was a camera because it had, like, that night vision.
It was a special camera battery. Okay. Anyway, moving on.
And then the only other thing I had was, like, there's a point where when they're first talking to the mom and she's like, Juilliard keeps sending these cards about Delaney's auditions. It has two boxes, postponed or withdrawn, and I never know which one to check off.
Ha!
Okay, I'm not sure what you're...
It's a check-off.
Yeah, check-off's box.
Yeah.
But here's the thing that just I found funny about that line. Shouldn't there be three boxes? One for accept?
Like, what about one for my daughter's a ghost?
Do you accept ghosts? Like, there should be other ghost.
Yeah. Because so there should honestly, be multiple boxes.
Honestly, like, she's pretty incredible as a ghost. Like,
I mean,
I feel like most
in the movie Ghost, Patrick Stewart, who is not the correct one.
That's definitely the wrong ghost.
Patrick Stewart and Ghost.
Uh-huh.
Had to learn from another ghost how to do stuff. Why is Delaney so strong?
It's almost like they're both fiction and have different rules for ghosts. Or
there are no rules for ghosts.
Delaney found an incredible ghost mentor.
That's probably it.
Like, that subway ghost had a lot of time to learn how to train other ghosts between the release of Ghost and Freaky Lynx.
It's me, Mario, the ghost trainer. I don't know how to do a Luigi voice or do Luigi.
Luigi.
He's up here.
That's not Luigi.
Luigi down here.
But then
Luigi.
He's more
Luigi.
He's like not as high as Mario, but he's like higher than Waluigi, but just as nasally. Whatever. All I'm saying is there's no box on the Juilliard thing for except. There should
she
be three boxes.
She wasn't accepted. No one's accepting
the
it.
Card.
No, but that's not what the card was about. The card was, you haven't accepted yet, so what's your deal?
Right. But I'm saying the card has, here's a date.
No college does this. You're canceled. Like, it just is just like, you're not coming. It's not that nice.
I'm just saying.
They would have called you at the time. You had to fax it in.
She said it comes with a possible audition date. And then the only possible choices are postpone or withdraw, is what she says. And I'm like, there should probably be a third box, which is accept.
Well, she can't choose that one because Delaney is not there.
Of course you can't choose that one.
Because of a scary sewer reveal.
Yeah. Okay, so that's all. Now we can go to our predictions.
There are no predictions so far.
Yeah. So, okay, we had predictions. So now having watched it... Okay, so this feels more like a typical episode. You know, where it's like that. Okay, we keep comparing it to the X-Files. X-Files has their Monster of the Week episodes and their, like, overarching plot episodes, right?
Mm-hmm.
So now we've seen Freaking Link's Monster of the Week episodes. Now, our predictions were about Adam and Van Helsing, Vince Elsing.
Okay, but he is definitely in the show.
He's in the show because
he's
in
the credits.
Which, by the way, the theme song didn't appear in the pilot.
Mm-hmm. The Power Man 5000 song?
Is that a different song? There's a Power Man 5000 song at the beginning of the pilot, but the opening song to this is different.
Okay, but who is it by?
I don't know. I'm saying this might just be the theme to Freaky Lynx.
Well, yeah, obviously.
So, this song, if you heard an opening song in this and other episodes, I was doing my best to sort of imitate the feeling of that song. That's why that's the theme for these episodes. Diana's making a face right now because she has not heard what I'm playing as the opening theme in this song, in this show. But like, yeah, it wasn't in the original, but it's so good. It's like,
oh, this new theme song?
Yeah.
You're not just like tooting your own horn about the song
No. The theme song to the Freaky Links theme song is so ridiculous and fun in a like late 90s, 2000, like metal kind of like.
Is this metal? I feel like this is hard rock.
It's.
I feel like metal has certain thing aspects of it, and I don't know what qualifies as metal because I'm not into metal.
It's that sort of like.
But it could be metal.
It's almost new metal if you didn't have time to get to the rap verses.
Sure.
But it's. Except for like the weird whispery, like.
I'm at the grocery store picking up some goods.
Kind of. Like, it's something like...
Down in the valley. Oh, sorry.
It's like... What doesn't find you just might kill you. Or something like that. It's something like weird.
So emo.
And like, here's the thing. I tried to actually find a thing to put in there that would fit that. And I was just like, I can't make any of it fit. I really wanted to get some weird whispery sort of like... You know, get just that sound.
But whispered?
Yeah.
All right.
I just couldn't pull it off. But I that's where the theme was my best attempt to kind of pull something like
okay,
that.
Okay, so I want to say my predictions for the show. More hard rock.
More hard rock, yeah.
Jason.
More not. Oh my god. Oh my god. The band that does Hate Jealousy.
Whoa!
I'm just having a moment.
Gin Blossoms.
Gin Blossoms, thank you. More not Gin Blossoms, but it could be.
Better than Ezra. I feel like it was better than Ezra.
It might be. There was definitely a song that came up, I feel like, a couple of times in this
All
episode.
The songs I know but don't know at the same time.
Yeah.
I'm like, this is the sound of the season. This is the sound of the... This show is just ringer tees and... Just a beautiful for its time. It's just so that time.
It's dated, not in the sense that like, oh, it's old. It's dated in the sense like it's this time. It is, this came out in late 2000.
Late 2000s?
Late 2000. The year 2000.
Oh, I thought you meant, like, the aughts.
No. The year 2000. The year 2000. But, like, near the end, around Halloween time, the year 2000. Like, it's very specifically, like...
Yeah, because it was a fall show.
Right.
So it can't have come out. When did this show air? Like, what channel was it on? I think it was
on Fox.
Yeah, it was on Fox. I think it was probably on after the X-Files.
Yeah, that's why I'm saying it was.
I think it.
It was after the X-Files, so it could be more edgy because it was at 10 instead of at 9.
Except, okay, I live.
Teens watch TV at 10.
Well, excuse
edgy
me.
Teens.
It was 9 when I watched it because I lived
teens.
In the.
Edgy teens in Texas watch TV at 9.
That's true. Edgy teens in Texas watch TV at 9.
Unless you're in Austin, then
at 9 at 9 tonight, 9 p.m. tonight at the news. Edgy teens.
Edgy teens watch a show about baby's first exorcism.
Baby's first exorcism.
Because that was in the TV guide description.
Show, I'm not even sure how I watched this though, being in Texas, honestly. I'm surprised it was a band.
Texas loves Fox. Nope. It's still Fox. It's the same Fox. So no way Texas is going to be like no to the Fox stuff. If Fox likes it.
That's a wolf.
That's a wolf.
Yep.
Nope.
Yippity bippity. That's a man being stabbed in the background.
Or a fox.
In the medieval times.
Yeah. Or a fox.
Or an owl. Or a hawk. We'll never know. Okay,
we'll never know.
This has nothing to do with Free Feelings.
We were still talking about the show airing on Fox. It does have to do with Free Feelings.
Okay, what else? Anything else that we're... Well,
so, predictions. We were talking about predictions.
I don't have any.
Well, okay. Have we changed anything? Have you changed anything about your feelings about, like, Adam showing up or any of those things? Has anything changed based on
nothing
a fully
has changed.
Monster of the Week-based episode?
I like the show more, I think.
Oh, yeah. It's definitely better.
But like, it's also worse at the same time.
Well, okay. So, it's definitely lost the... not lost. But there's less of the really cheesy fun of the first episode. Like, the everything that made the first episode bad also made it good. And there's less of that in the second episode.
Yeah, this is really focused. I'm expecting so much from this third episode right now.
Yeah, I'm really curious. Like, I'm not gonna say it's good, but like,
well,
it's
what's our rating?
Better.
What's our rating? Because we didn't rate the first episode.
We didn't. Okay. Well, should we rate the first episode?
Sure.
Okay.
I give the first episode a 3.
Out of?
5.
Okay. See, that's tough. Because I
feel like this is... Okay, maybe we shouldn't rate the episodes, because I have no idea what the rating is.
It's real hard to rate it. I think this episode...
I think this episode's better than the first episode.
This episode, if we're talking actual quality... This episode is significantly better than the first.
But it makes me want to keep watching.
Yeah.
But only based on the first episode, because I want to see what happens with Adam.
Right.
But also, I'm also kind of curious. I'm curious to see how this plays out.
Yeah.
But too bad we're just stopping the podcast right now. It'll never be more than 2 episodes.
Could you imagine? Like, there are people who... I there's only a few of you probably, but some people who have been waiting months for us to come back. And if we came back and were like, we did 2 episodes.
This is not even like, this podcast is still so much on the works right now.
It is. So, and I will say, like, because I mentioned you can write in and everything. We've recorded a couple of before, we're recording a couple before we've even released any. Just to kind of, like, get a feel for it. So the first couple of episodes may come out on a weird schedule, who knows, and then we're going to try and get into a rhythm so you can, like, be watching along with us and everything. But, yeah, I just want to mention that real quick. But, I feel like this episode was less fun to watch in a silly way, but because it was actually better. Like,
yeah.
Like, it... I'm not saying it's necessarily...
The show is good. Okay. I'm going to say, okay. So when... I must have been, like, 18-ish mm-hmm. when I saw the show. 17, 18?
Yeah, yeah.
And it stuck with me.
Yeah.
And I don't know why.
Uh-huh.
But it stuck with me as a show I remembered, but I mm-hmm. can't remember the details of
yeah.
the show.
Like, I get why it... Based on this one episode, the 2 episodes,
this
I guess.
This was like everything
I understand
I was
it not
at the time.
Being successful, but there is like a potential here. Like, I'm going to say this isn't like Buffy season 2. Buffy episode 2 isn't significantly better than this.
Episode 7 is going to be fantastic.
That's
what,
your prediction
11,
for this one?
And there's like 13.
There's 13.
Yeah, I think
so. Your
7.
Prediction is that 7 is going to be incredible.
Well, I don't remember what my prediction was last time.
We didn't have a prediction for which one was going to be incredible.
7.
7. Okay.
Yeah, I feel like we're going to get a big reveal. There will be nothing of the sort in 7 at all, but we'll see.
I mean, we had predictions specifically about Adam and such, but I don't remember what they were because I haven't edited the first one yet. So I don't remember what those predictions were.
Perfect.
I feel like I'm going to need to make like a Google Doc just for our predictions.
Nah.
Nah.
No.
Okay. All right. Yeah, I don't really have any other predictions. Nothing. I feel like my predictions last week were based on my actual assumption that this was going to become a monster of the week.
I do think that a vampire will show up.
I think there will be a vampire. If there isn't a vampire, they planned on one.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
But they weren't planning on this
vampire
only being...
It's pretty easy, so I feel like it might show up.
Because, like, the thing is, a show like this in 2000 wasn't supposed to be 13 episodes in season one. It was supposed to be 24.
Sure.
And...
Or 26.
I mean, 24 is a common amount. 20-something.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's possible they had a vampire episode planned. If it doesn't... Like, if one doesn't show up in season one, they were going to. Maybe they didn't do it because X-Files just did a vampire episode, and then we're like, let's postpone the vampire episode, and then it never happened.
Oh, maybe.
I don't remember what year the vampire episode happened in the X-Files.
A good one.
Okay, I think that's all we've got on this. I mean, I'm saying, I don't know. Do you have anything else you wanted to say on this? Okay. Reminder, you can follow us on Twitter at @DiffDirectionPod. Those 15-character things really limit the options when our title is so long. At @DiffDirectionPod. That's with one D-I-F, Direction Pod. Or write to us at differentdirection@tgifarcade.com, not gmail.com. That's a change from our other podcast if you listen to it, so just make sure you're writing to the right place. And we will respond to whatever you write to us in future episodes. And beyond that,
don't forget to look behind things. Because there might be a ghost. Probably is.
Probably.
Probably Jason's going to be filming it right there.
That's where Delaney Park is.
See ya. Peace. Oh, what's that? Barnes out.
Barnes out. Yeah. A Different Direction is a TGIFRK production. You can contact the podcast at @DiffDirectionPod on Twitter or email us at differentdirection@tgifrk.com. You can also find information about everything that TGIFRK produces by following us at @TGIFRK on Twitter. Thanks for listening.